This is Shadow Over Lockerbie, a special report from American Radio Works. I'm Bill Buesenberg. With the trial of the two Libyans set to begin in May, here's what we know. That the evidence against the defendants, at least the evidence that government officials have touted over the years, appears less than rock solid. That some close to this case still suspect the Iranian government and Syrian-based terrorists may have played a role in the bombing. And that the trial may not completely solve the Lockerbie puzzle. Now, for more insight into how this trial came about and where it might lead, we turn to Robert Black, professor of Scots Law at Edinburgh University in Scotland. Professor Black helped make the coming trial possible by proposing the unusual deal to hold the trial in a neutral country. We asked him how he managed to put that deal together.
When the United Nations imposed sanctions upon Libya, in order to try to induce it to hand over the two suspects, Libya refused, and there was an impasse. Britain and the United States were insisting that they should be handed over for trial either in America or in Scotland, and Libya was saying, no, we refuse. We don't think they could get a fair trial in either of those countries. So I came up with a possible solution, and that was to have a trial under the law of Scotland, but outside the geographical boundaries of Scotland. I put that proposal forward to the Libyans in early 1994, in January. They immediately accepted it, and by the Libyans in this context, I mean both the Libyan government and the Libyan lawyers who are defending the accused. What then happened was that Britain and the United States had to agree to the scheme, and they didn't do that until August of 1998, more than 4 years later. But that's what caused the delay.
Is it fair to say that a lot of people are surprised that this trial, in fact, is going forward?
I think that is a fair comment. I think certainly the governments of Britain and the United States, for many years after these charges were first brought, which was in November 1991, really didn't think there would ever be a trial. And I think that has given rise to certain difficulties now that the trial is going ahead, because perhaps not as much or as careful preparation has been done in the intervening years as would have been done if they had genuinely believed a trial was going to take place.
I wonder, going back to Libya, did you meet with Colonel Gaddafi? Are you surprised that he agreed to let these two Libyans go to the Netherlands for the trial?
No, I'm not. After Britain and America put forward their proposal for a trial in the Netherlands in August of 1998, there was a great deal of publicity in the United States and in Britain to the effect that Colonel Gaddafi was playing for time. He was trying to wriggle out of the commitment that the Libyan government had given to me in January 1994. I never actually thought that that was what was happening. I met Colonel Gaddafi on two occasions, and I was convinced as a result of those meetings that Colonel Gaddafi did want this trial to take place.
Okay, a little bit about the trial itself. As I understand it, there won't be a jury in the Netherlands, but it will be a trial before three Scottish judges who will decide the verdict.
Yes, it's very difficult to give a sense of this kind of trial because in a trial of this seriousness, this is the first time it has ever happened in Scotland. Professional lawyers in Scotland tend to be of the view that judges sitting alone are more likely to bring in a verdict of guilty than is a jury. Because we do have, for lesser crimes in Scotland, the possibility of a non-jury trial with a judge sitting alone. And the received wisdom in the legal profession in Scotland is that it is much easier to get an acquittal from a jury than it is from a professional judge. So from that standpoint, it could be argued that these men, these two Libyan accused, will have a tougher time before this court than they would have had if there had been a jury.
I'm wondering if you have any sense of how long this trial might go forward, how long it will take.
It could be a very long trial. There are people in Scotland who are speculating that it will last at least a year. I myself think that that probably is a bit of an exaggeration. I would expect that it might last 5 or 6 months. I would be surprised if it lasted as long as a year.
I wonder if you can talk about, from your reading of the indictment, what are the actual facts that the Scottish prosecutors are going to have to prove to convict these two Libyans?
It will have to be shown that, effectively, they set on its route the suitcase containing the bomb, and that they knew that that suitcase contained a bomb.
Will they be able to prove that? Can you say anything about that?
From what has appeared in the public domain, it would appear that there is material available to the defense, which, on the face of it, might make it appear that it would be difficult for any court to be satisfied beyond reasonable doubt about the prosecution version of events. I think it will be a tough case to prove, and of course, one of the problems is that the events that the witnesses will be giving evidence about took place more than 11 years ago. And so the prosecution is the one which has to prove its case. And the longer the period between the events of December 1988 and the trial, the more difficult it will be for them to prove what actually happened.
Robert Black is professor of Scots Law at Edinburgh University. For the rest of this hour, we look at the Lockerbie investigation from the perspective of U.S. counterterrorism policy. We spoke with three experts, Robert Oakley, a former diplomat and State Department official. Mr. Oakley was ambassador at large for counterterrorism in the mid-1980s. Philip Wilcox, who served more recently as the State Department's ambassador for counterterrorism from 1995 to 1997. And Sonia Popovich, who has taught on international relations and terrorism at Barnard College. She is also vice president of victims of Pan Am 103. Her then fiancé was killed when that plane was blown up over Lockerbie. We began by asking each of our guests, starting with Robert Oakley, if they believe the right people are going on trial in the Netherlands.
Well, I think it's as good as you can do under the circumstances. I mean, ideally, of course, I guess you want to place the responsibility where it belongs upon Omar Gaddafi, but I think under the circumstances, the two people most directly involved at a senior level in orchestrating the attack are going on trial.
Ambassador Wilcox?
Yes, the Justice Department, the FBI, fellow law enforcement intelligence agencies around the world investigated the case for 3 years. They did an exhaustive job, and they built a powerful case identifying these two Libyan suspects, so I think they have the right people. There are various other hypotheses, none of them proved to be true, and I think it's there's a powerful weight of evidence suggesting the culpability of these two.
And Sonia Popovich, please.
Well, I'm afraid we won't know the answer to that until the trial itself happens, and even perhaps not then. I mean, the trial in the Netherlands is a trial of the guilt or innocence of these two people, and hopefully we will know more then. The more I have learned of this case, the less I do understand about it. If these two are responsible, then indeed I would have to echo Ambassador Oakley's point that certainly responsibility lay on the shoulders of Muammar Gaddafi. It's possible that they're guilty and then they're acquitted, or that they have a verdict of not proven, in which case we probably will never really know.
Right now, as you look at the case that's coming, do you think we will really know all that happened in the bombing of Pan Am 103? In other words, do you expect that the case will be closed by the end of this trial?
Quite frankly, having the amount of evidence that's been gathered so far that Phil Wilcox referred to has convinced me, obviously we need a trial to go through the legal procedures, but I'm convinced. On the other hand, I'm also convinced it'll never be closed, and that there will be things that we won't know, and there'll be suspicions on the part of a number of people that maybe somebody else did it, or the Libyans didn't do it, or it won't be closed anymore than we've ever been able to close the file on who killed JFK.
Ever since the indictment of the Libyans, I think that some have speculated that there were real strategic concerns behind that. In other words, that it was more appealing for the United States and the British governments to accuse Libya as opposed to
for example, Iran or Syria, because of the U.S. Interest in working with Syria at the time on the peace process and in the Gulf War, which was occurring at that time. I'm wondering, do these other national interests sometimes outweigh punishing terrorists, even in a case like this? Ambassador Wilcox?
I have confidence that the United States Department of Justice doesn't indict people for political reasons, and that if there were not adequate evidence for this indictment, they would not have brought it forward.
Let me address your more basic question. I can't imagine the United States would bring trial on the basis of false evidence or something of that sort. On the other hand, when there are questions, I think that bigger political considerations do have some influence in what you want to do. If you have a fuzzy case, then the United States might decide not to proceed, or the United States might decide not to take the judicial track at all. They may decide to act in some other way. I'm not sure how much hard evidence we had about the relationship between some of the places bombed after the bombings of our own embassies in Dar es Salaam and Nairobi, but that didn't await a court of law.
Sonia, please. Sonia Popovich.
Let me take another example. When they had the Khobar Towers and Dahran bombings in Saudi Arabia, we didn't say, well, how are you dealing with this case? Let's bomb Saudi Arabia. It's our ally. Yet when there were the embassy bombings in Dar es Salaam and Nairobi, we bombed Sudan and Afghanistan. I mean, I don't think we'd ever take such action against an ally. I think that if you're a pariah state, you're likely to be punished. But if you're not a pariah state, you may well get away with something.
One of the things that we've heard from law professor Robert Black, who arranged to make this case go forward in the Netherlands, is that the Libyans agreed in 1994 to turn over these two men, and it was, he felt, the United States and the British governments that really did not agree to this trial until 1998. What happened for those 4 years? Why did the U.S. not want to proceed?
Well, it is an extraordinary concession for the United States and the United Kingdom to carry out a trial under the law of either country in a foreign country. It required a special act of parliament. Ultimately, the U.S. and the U.K. agreed because we wanted to get on with the trial, and it was structured in a way that assured us that it would not prevent the presentation of evidence and the kind of trial that would have been carried out in the U.S. or the U.K.
I was under the impression that, well, as Ambassador Wilcox noted, that the U.S. Did not want to make that concession in 94 to Gaddafi, to have this, Scottish, a little piece of Scotland, so to speak, on Dutch soil. I keep wondering if they're going to plant heather there. But in my conversations with Secretary Albright, she stressed that the families needed to have some trial. We need to see something happen. And I think that after it hit a decade, there was a sense that let's do something to make this trial happen.
I'm wondering, if the Libyans are acquitted, where does that leave us in this case?
Well, if they're acquitted, and I know, for example, those who care perhaps most intensely, many of the family members, do see that as the end of the road, because it's unlikely we're going to hear or know much more than we do now if they're acquitted, or if it's not proven, which is a very possible outcome, and certainly leaves everyone feeling dissatisfied and not knowing really what happened.
There would still be, in the aftermath of an acquittal, continued lack of diplomatic relations between Libya and the United States, and continued U.S. government sanctions, I believe, for some time. I think it would be a long time before the United States would warm to normal relations with Libya, if there were an acquittal of the two suspects.
Let me end by asking you, Sonia, how important, if you could, you've talked to a number of the family members, you're in contact with many of them. I'm wondering how important they see this case and how much they're looking at this to bring a kind of closure to the whole long episode.
Well, I can't speak for everyone, but everyone I have spoken to sees it. What is closure after all? I mean, to some extent that never really exists. But I think the trial is very, very important. And for many people, we've been waiting for this for such a long time. And I know that a number of family members are planning to be there really almost the whole time. And some of them have quit their jobs to do so. It's extremely important. I mean, anyone who's been a victim of a crime, to have your day in court, to have some accounting when people's lives are ripped apart, families destroyed, whole families in some cases were killed. And the existence of a trial means quite a bit to very, very many people.
Sonia Popovich is a counterterrorism expert and vice president of the Victims of Pan Am 103. We also heard from two former State Department ambassadors for counterterrorism, Robert Oakley and Philip Wilcox. This has been a special report from American Radio Works, Shadow Over Lockerbie. It was reported and produced by Ian Ferguson and John Bewin, and edited by Christopher Joyce and Lauren Jenkins. Associate producer Stephanie Curtis. Mixing by Tom Mudge. Interns Gabrielle Zuckerman and Sean Madigan. The managing editor of American Radio Works is Stephen Smith. The project manager is Nancy Fuchsin. I'm Bill Buesenberg. To learn more about the Lockerbie investigation, visit our website at AmericanRadioWorks.org. Major funding for American Radio Works is provided by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting and the Florence and John Schumann Foundation, with additional support from the John D. and Catherine T. MacArthur Foundation. American Radio Works is the National Documentary Unit of Minnesota Public Radio, in cooperation with NPR, National Public Radio.